Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. I love this passage of scripture because there's so many different messages that you can present out of this passage of scripture. It's just a powerful chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians. I believe the message I have, that God has for us today, I believe this is what we need to open up our hearts and minds to receive. And so we're going to be reading chapter 10, verse 1 down to verse 12. And so if you would, go ahead and stand with me as we read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you, what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord and what we've already experienced and singing and being ministered to through special music. Now, Father, as we have read this passage of Scripture concerning Old Testament Israel and how that Paul is connecting this to New Testament church age, I pray, God, that we would receive that message that you have for us through this. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth concerning the example of Old Testament Israel and their behavior in the Old Testament and the behavior of many in the church at Corinth at this time. So he's connecting the two. In verses 1 through 4, Paul connects them as he presents Old Testament and then he presents New Testament. But the key here is found in verse 4 when he says, "And did all drink of the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock and followed them, and that rock was Christ." Christ in the Old Testament. You see, Jesus Christ is God. And so, yes, Israel's God is our God today. Same. God in Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, always has been, always will be. So we find here the Old Testament, Israel, looked to the Creator God and they were preparing themselves for the coming of the Messiah, which was Christ. But he was in the Old Testament and then very clearly revealed in the New Testament. And so that's what Paul is presenting here, then connecting the two. It's important because we should learn from past. They had the same God and also the same adversary, the same enemy as we do today. And so we can learn from Old Testament Israel and how the they looked to God, and if they wanted to have God's blessings, they had to do things God's way. And the devil was there trying to get them to turn away from God, to turn to the ways of the world and forsake the Lord and follow after other idols. So that's what we have here with Paul writing to the church at Corinth and what's taken place with the example of the Old Testament. And then he presents to us in verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, learned from that, and were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. The whole Old Testament has been preserved for us as an example for us to learn from. In verse 11 and 12, then he says, now all these things happened unto them. Everything that we look at the Old Testament and study the nation of Israel. And these things happen unto them for ensamples. That word ensamples is a lot like examples, but it's living examples. A living example, an ensemble. And they are written, been recorded, written down for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we find here that Paul wanted to inform them, first of all, of what the example that God wanted them to look to was. And he said, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant of learning from Old Testament Israel, learning from your forefathers. And then in verse 11, all these things happened unto them for ensamples. He wanted to inform them that God has for us the entire nation of Israel and what took place as an example for us to learn from. He also wanted them to know in verse 11, it says, and they are written for our admonition. So he wanted them not only to be informed, but he wanted them to be admonished because of this. And then in verse 12, he says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, which is a warning. Thinketh that you don't need the example to look to Old Testament Israel, thinking that you don't need the words of God that has been written down, preserved for us, but take heed because you will fall if you don't take heed, if you're not looking to all that God has given to us, whether it be Old Testament scriptures or New Testament scriptures. The things that they did in Old Testament that caused the judgment of God upon their lives is exactly what the church at Corinth was doing in this first century New Testament church age. And so Paul is trying to get them to look back and see that you're serving the same God and he's going to judge you the very same way that he judged the Old Testament. And you see what happened in the Old Testament, learn from it. It's written down, preserved for us as examples. And so it is there to help us to not do what they did. Verse 6, he says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not, and then it gives the first thing here, not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And then it gives us a number of things that they did, but to help us to not do what they did. And so the message that I know that God wants me to preach to you this morning is a simple message that you need to take heed to. Don't do it. The things that God has written down for us, example of the Old Testament, are there. And for us today, it's example of the church at Corinth, a first century church. Now we're the 21st century church, but we're looking back. We got the same God. We got the same adversary. We got the same enemies, we got the very same temptations, we got the very same sins that took place in Old Testament that also took place in the New Testament, in the early beginning of the New Testament, which is taking place today. And it's written down here for our example, and then ensemble, a living example for us to look to and say, I don't want to do what they did. I don't want to make the same mistakes that they did. I want to have the blessings of God. So don't do it. The first thing he tells you not to do, verse 6, we should not lust. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. I tell you that lust has been a part of humanity since the fall of Adam. The definition would be of lust is uncontrolled, ungodly desires. James chapter 1, let me just read this to you. You can write it down and go study it afterwards. But James in chapter 1, we find here that James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and helps us to understand some things about lust. He says in verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Your lust is something that Satan is going to try to work through to tempt you to do the things that God would not want you to do. Going to use the very same lust to tempt you to do what brings the judgment of God upon a nation or upon an individual or upon a church as it is in Corinth. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, you think you're enjoying the pleasures, and you can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but the end result of sin, and that's what he's getting ready to reveal to us here, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Satan wants you to think it's going to bring something different into your life, into my life. We can give in to whatever lust, whatever desires, ungodly desires we want to give in to and think it's going to make things better. But that's not the case. Not according to Old Testament Israel, not according to New Testament church, first century as well as 21st century. Lusting after evil things. Something we just got to tell ourselves. Don't do it. We must not allow ourselves to focus on things that would not be in God's will for our lives. Lust after evil things. That evil is whatever would not be within God's will for your life. That evil would be whatever Satan wants to work through the lust of the eyes, through the lust of the flesh, through the pride of life, through the evil world that we live in. That's what the devil's trying to get us to turn away from the things of God to turn to these other things. And the end result of that is the same. We have the example of Old Testament Israel. We have the example of what happened to first century church in Corinth. And we have the example even today in the United States of America. We must not allow ourselves to focus on things that would not be God's will, because if it's not God's will, then it's of the devil. It's evil. You know what happens to a lot of married people? They turn away from the desire to be married to make the best relationship that they can have in marriage, and they'll lust after single life. They'll lust after things that are not according to the will of God. But yet we look around and we see things taking place in the world and they think, I'm married, but I want to act like and live a lifestyle that is single. And when you give in to those kind of lusts, because that's not the will of God, if you're married, it's God's will for you to live like a married individual. If you are married, then you are committed to that one person. If you are married, the two of you have become one flesh. If you are married, then God wants you to live as a married couple and have an example to the world of what Christianity is all about. Establish a Christian home. But the lust will come in there when you look around and you look at other people that are possibly married as well, and they're doing things that you know you should not be doing, but you see somebody else doing that, and so you give into a lust for that type of a lifestyle, and that's going to lead to destruction. A parent doesn't want the responsibilities of children. And so they lust after a lifestyle of a single individual that has no children. Is that really what you want? The lust after evil things, that evil is whatever would not be in the will of God. If you have children, listen to me, it's the will of God, and the most important ministry that you can hold on to is to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Stop allowing the devil to come in there and get you lusting after being single or lusting after being without children. When you are married and you have children, then you need to be able to turn away from that lust and look to God to be the best you can be as a married individual, to be the best you can be as a parent, because that is the will of God for your life. We're living in a society now that marriage really means nothing. Parenting means nothing. So many parents are willing just to turn their children over to the government and let them be raised however the government thinks they ought to be raised. That's not how God would have us to live our lives. Don't lust after evil things. Don't lust after things that are not within the will of God for your life. Find contentment in God. Find contentment in God's will. I thank God that I have a wife. I thank God that I have a wife because we are able to share our lives together. We're able to live as one and focus on what God has for us as a couple. But that would be taken away if I lusted after not being married. I thank God for when we raised our children to have the responsibility and to welcome the responsibility to raise a seed for the Lord, because now they're raising their children to serve the Lord, and we're able to enjoy the grandchildren, able to enjoy their lives serving God. Have a desire to go to Bible college, a desire to serve the Lord, have a desire to live like God would have them to live. Listen to me, that would not have taken place if we did not raise our children according to the will of God, and because then they would not have raised their children according to the will of God, and Satan would have got a tremendous victory as he did in the Old Testament. Because instead of finding contentment in the will of God, they lusted after things that were not God's will for their lives. The book of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5, let me read this to you, very familiar. It says, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. That's where your joy is going to come from. Not turning to the ways of the world, not turning to things that you think you want, but being thankful for what you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you if you're finding contentment in my will. Yeah. Find contentment in God's will. If you're married, that's God's will for you to have the best marital relationship that you can have. Don't lust outside of that. If you have children, you're parenting, then being the best parent that you can be, making a difference in your children's life, don't lust outside of that. And I could go on and on to so many other things. But that's the first thing that we find here that Paul writes to the church at Corinth to try to help them realize, don't do it. We have the example of Old Testament. We have the example of all that. You have the Word of God that don't do it. It's not of God, it's of the devil to lust after evil things. Verse 7, if you look back with me in chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7, it says, neither, don't do this either. Amen? So he said, now, first thing, don't be lusting after evil things. Don't do it. If you're doing it, stop it. Amen. You can. If you want to, you can. Stop it. Find contentment in the will of God. And that is where your contentment is going to be, is in the will of God. The joy of the Lord, that's your strength. You can't have the joy of the Lord and being outside the will of God. You got to be within the will of God, focused on the will of God. And if you're focused on the will of God, you can learn to be content with such things as you have because you're going to make the most of it. And then he says, neither be ye idolaters. And he says, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither be idolaters. Idolatry is worshiping idols. But more than that is turning away from God to something or to someone else. Turning away from the teachings of Christ to accept the philosophies of the world. Don't do it. It's just simple that. Just don't do it. Once you know if God has written it down, it's for our ensemble, it's for our example, it's for us to look back to, it's been recorded, preserved by God, then learn from that. Look to that as an example and realize I'm not going to make the same mistakes that Israel did in Corinth did, the first century church. I'm not going to make those mistakes because I ought to learn from the examples that God has given to me to learn from. Just don't do it. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Lord was teaching his apostles, and he says this to them in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, stop turning to idols. Stop turning to other philosophies. Stop turning to other teachings. Follow my teachings. If you love me, keep my commandments. Chapter 15, he says this in verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Wow, you want to produce fruit that remains? You're going to make a difference in your life? Don't turn to idolatry. Focus on the truths that Christ presented to us, the teachings that will make a difference in our lives, and live accordingly. Go back with in our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because that's what he says. This is the example, the Old Testament. It's for written down for us. It's ensembles for us to learn from. And so he says, just don't do these things. Learn from these things. Don't lust after evil things. Don't be an idolater. Verse 8, he says this. Neither let us commit fornication. That's a big one. But look what it says about it. As some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Do you think God was not well pleased with this sin? He wasn't well pleased then. 23,000 people fell in one day because of this sin of committing fornication. And we have that as an example. Take heed. Be warned. We have been given this, informed us through the scriptures we just read. We have been admonished through the scriptures we've just read, and we've been warned, take heed. And so don't do these things. Commit fornication. See, because you got to realize that if we were just animals, even animals have more sense than some humans. But it wouldn't be sin. Because then we were not created in God's image. And the Holy Spirit of God would not dwell within our bodies. What sets you apart from the world, from the lost, is if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within your body. And your body is a temple of the Lord. And as a temple of the Lord, we determine how we honor God in this temple. God designed sexual relationship to be between a man and a woman, not teenagers, and even younger than that today, and only after marriage. And the world will laugh at you if you really try to hold on to those convictions. But they're not laughing at you, they're laughing at God. Because this is God's design. I love what we find in Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13, write this one down. It's a very powerful passage of scripture. In verse 4, marriage. God says marriage, the way God designed it, a man for a woman and a woman for a man. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But you go outside of marriage. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. He judged Old Testament Israel. He judged first century church as well as every century since then, New Testament. God is not well pleased with the fornication that has taken place today. Where is it going to stop? It has to stop with believers. You have to realize what God's will is for your life, and you understand that God's will for my life is what's going to bring for me the blessings of God, not the judgment of God. And so he says, stop it. Do not yield yourself to fornication. You think it's going to help. You think it's going to bring temporary pleasures, and it can bring temporary pleasures. There's no doubt about that. But can I tell you that the hardest addiction to overcome is sexual addiction? If we understood what was taking place with pornography and with all the different websites and all that, there is so much sexual addiction in the United States of America and possibly even in churches. Don't do it. Just look to God and say, God, I know it's not your will for my life, and so I want to find contentment in your will for my life. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Stop doing the things that's going to bring the judgment of God upon an individual life, upon a family, upon a nation. It begins with the church. Don't condone and don't support it. Stand against it. Stand where God wants you to stand. Don't do it. Back over in our text. Everybody following me this morning? Amen. A little quiet out there, but I kind of figured that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is Bible. This is our example. This is what we that has been recorded for us to learn from. Why aren't we learning from it? Verse 9. Neither. So don't do this either. Yeah. Neither. Let us tempt Christ. As some of them also, and it gives us this example in the Old Testament, that some of them tempted and were destroyed by the serpents, of the serpents. And going back and understanding and reading the stories of what took place, but he tells us to realize that that's an example for us, that is something that we can learn from, and the thing that we need to learn is don't do it. Do you know what it is? To tempt Christ. It's when we attempt to influence God to change his will for our own wills. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, we find here that Peter had a problem with that. And he tempted Christ in Matthew chapter 16. Let me just, again, write it down. I want you to go back, but it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day, as we just heard that song, message and song. Crucifixion proved the love of God. The resurrection proved the power of God. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Wait a minute. You're telling God what he's just told you is not right? And you're trying to get him to change his will for your selfish desires? That's tempting Christ. Jesus said, but he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." You see that when Jesus was committing himself to the public ministries, one of the first things that led this off was the temptation of Christ by the devil. And the devil came to him and told him that if you would just change what you're going to do, if you would just change from who you worship, if you would change from how you're living and come and serve me and follow me, I will do this to you. And the temptation of Christ, and Jesus Christ would not be given in to the temptations coming from the devil himself. But he quoted scripture back to the devil because he was going to be committed to the very will and the words of God. See, our desire needs to be not my will, but thy will be done. I'm trying to get God, tempting God and saying, "Lord, as long as you don't let this happen, then I'll serve you. But if this happens, I won't serve you." Tempting Christ? God will not be tempted. That is not within the will of God. You just look to God to know that he loves you. He proved that on the cross. He's powerful enough to change anything and everything that might need to be changed. He's proven that with the resurrection. Submit your will to his will. Don't try to get him to change his will. You submit your will to his will. Don't tempt him. Just don't do it. Wow. So don't do it. Don't lust after evil things. Don't be idolaters. Don't commit fornication. Don't tempt Christ. There's one more. Look there with me. Let's look at this last one. Verse 10. Neither means don't do this either. Murmur ye. As some of them also murmured, it is a temptation to murmur. It's a temptation of the devil. It's a tool that Satan uses to try to get you to murmur against God. And he says, now, Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. There was judgment of God. There was judgment then and there will be judgment today. Don't do it. To speak against God, to complain. You find yourself complaining to God? Don't do it. 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to close with this, but 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, serving the Lord, and he gets an infirmity of the flesh. He's saying, God, I don't want this infirmity of the flesh. And he had three different seasons of prayer to try to get God to remove this from his life, from his physical body. Him thinking that he could possibly serve God better with a glorified or a strong body, a healthy body, and yet he's taking that out of God's control because God knows what he's doing. And we find what Paul finally did is something that we need to learn to do as well. In chapter 12, and verse 8 and 9, he says this, "For the things I besought the Lord thrice that might depart from me." And he said unto me, he had this because he wouldn't change it. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He understood that God's grace was sufficient. Whatever it was that God would allow into his life, there was a purpose for that. And if there's a purpose for it, then you need to look to God to understand the purpose of that, to be able to make the most out of that. And so he says here, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Wow, that's powerful stuff right there. These are the things that led to Israel's downfall. We can't repeat these things. We've been informed. They've been written down, preserved for us. We've been admonished by them. And we've been warned. The warning is, don't do it. Don't do it. Take the message that God has for us today. Be determined when you walk out of this church building and change. I'm going to stop doing those things that led to the judgment of God. And I'm going to start doing the things that are going to lead to the blessings of God. Will you do it? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Very clear in the scriptures. We have the entire Old Testament to learn from. Paul uses that. The church at Corinth that was following in the very same negative, ungodly footprints of some of the Old Testament forefathers. And if we look around today, we're following, many are following in that very same ungodly direction. It's got to come to a stop. It's got to begin with right here in the house of the Lord. It's got to begin right here in Christianity. We don't determine how Christians are supposed to behave and act. God has already determined that, and he's given us the example of Christ and the teachings of Christ. We just need to follow after him. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the truth of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for this powerful message that Paul would write to the church at Corinth that you've recorded for us here at Lighthouse that we might be strengthened by it as well. It will strengthen individuals. It will strengthen families. It will strengthen the church, society, and the nation. I pray that we would submit ourselves to your will and do as you would have us to do. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.